morning, everyone.
Morning.
This morning we're going to look at the book of Galatians. If you have your Bible, if you turn to Galatians chapter 6, and we're going to look at the last chapter, or last part of that chapter, going from verse 11 through to verse 18. We'll just read that together now. So it's Galatians 6, beginning at verse 11. See what large letters I use as I write to you with my own hand. Those who want to impress people by means of the flesh are trying to compel you to be circumcised. The only reason they do this is to avoid being persecuted for the cross of Christ. Not even those who are circumcised keep the law, yet they want you to be circumcised that they may boast about your circumcision in the flesh. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything. What counts is the new creation. Peace and mercy to all who follow this rule, to the Israel of God. From now on, let no one cause me trouble, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brothers and sisters. Amen. What can we learn from this great passage from Paul? And in particular for verse 1, what is Paul talking about here? Well, there's two types of large letters to begin with, and let me explain. Anyone who's ever been to an optician's will be familiar with this. Okay, it's called a Sneddon chart. I'm not going to say these words, but you know what I'm talking about. And we've all been tested with one at some point or the other, and we know how it works. The optician starts with the great big letters at the top, and then you work your way down to the wee ones at the bottom. But there's another type of large letter. Okay, allow me to explain. Let's say there's some hopeless romantic among us today. I'm looking at you all here. I can see John here. I can see Alec here. And maybe they want to write a large letter, a love letter to their wives. And Sarah knows what I'm talking about here. Okay, I can see it in her eyes. And they might want to write a large letter or a long letter, page after page of heartfelt explanation of their undying love. So that's another type of large letter or long letter, whatever way you want to look at it. So what is Paul talking about here in this first verse? Does it even matter? Some say it was big, shouty letters, like he'd used the caps lock button on a computer, or like that on the Sneddon chart. Some say it was possibly because he was short-sighted that he needed these large letters. The days before glasses, that this was how he got by. Other people say that perhaps he just wasn't great at writing in Greek. Most of us aren't. That would be understandable. Or that Paul simply wrote a long letter to make an important message known to the church. So what type was it? Big readable characters or a long letter? And again, does it even really matter? And truthfully, whether it was big letters or it was long letters, this isn't really what's important here. But what is important is that Paul wrote the letter himself. It had been his practice to use a scribe to write some of the other books, to actually put the letters down on the paper. But not this letter. Not this letter to the church at Galatia. Paul wrote it down himself. And we can sense the urgency of Paul's tone to the church in verse 11. So whether it's big letters or it's long letters, either way was going to carry the urgency and that the church needed to sit up and pay attention to what he was about to say. So in these last 8 verses of Galatians 6, Paul sums up his warning to a group of believers who were in danger, and they were in danger of losing their freedom in Christ, who were in danger of being susceptible, of falling to a false teaching and a false gospel. And this false teaching was going to insist that something more than Jesus was going to be needed to be saved. And people needed to do something more than Jesus had already done for them. Any of us who have children, when they see that they are in danger and about to do something that's harmful to them, something that was going to bring them pain, instinctively, at times, we raise our voices. And we don't mince our words because we maybe haven't time, especially if that danger is close. And we can see a little bit of that in Paul's tone. As a loving pastor and a loving brother, concerned with the danger that was approaching the Galatian church, what they were about to fall into. So what was it? And that's what I want to look at today. Why was it so important? What was the danger? And as always, we ask ourselves when we look at the like of this, what is the danger to us in a little church on the Shankill Road, in Shankill Community Fellowship? So let's look at verses 12 and 13 to begin with. Keep your Bible open, we'll work our way down through and see if this we can open up the passage to ourselves. So we're going to look at verses 12 and 13. Wonder, do you ever buy anything? You go into the shop and there's something you really have your eye on and you make your decision. And you're happy with your choice. It's a phone, it's a car, it's a washing machine, whatever it is. And then some salesman comes up to you and he shows you a better one. One that's a wee bit better, and inevitably it's going to be more expensive. Bit of an upgrade. It's usually called the plus version or the extra or the add-on or the executive option. We buy into this because it's in our nature. We love to have the upgrade. Something that offers a little bit more. Just a little bit more than the standard, ordinary version. Something that adds that little bit of extra value. Maybe it even makes us feel that little bit more superior. That upgrade in the hotel room, that upgrade that we didn't expect, the first class on the plane, all that sort of stuff. On spiritual terms, this was what was going to be offered to the church, falsely offered to the members of the church at Galatia. It was going to be Jesus plus. Jesus plus something else. And in this case, it was Jesus plus circumcision. Here's the important thing. If we try to upgrade our salvation as if it were some sort of commodity, to try the add-on, our own efforts, the grace, then we basically cut Jesus out altogether. Because the two things don't mix. Law and grace are a contradiction. This false teaching of Jesus plus something else still exists very, very much today. Look no further than when you get a knock at the door of the Jehovah's Witnesses or the Mormons. They might even say the right words. I've had them there and they call themselves Christians. If you push them hard enough, if you ask, they call themselves Christians. But dig deeper and they're going to offer you a message of Jesus plus something else. Jesus plus good works. And if you keep the rules, then maybe, just maybe, if you've done it well, you'll get to heaven. Catholic Church offers this teaching of Jesus plus as well. Jesus plus the sacraments. Jesus plus confession to a priest. And it's just the same thing. If you live a really good life, if you can keep the rules, then one day, maybe just one day, you'll get to heaven. And what about our own hearts? What about the lies that we tell ourselves? It's easy to fall into this self-righteous mindset that makes us want to feel better about ourselves and maybe better than the Christian who's sitting on the seat beside us. And this attitude can spread destructively through a church, as was the danger for the church at Galatia here. Jesus plus the correct dress code. Jesus plus doing stuff. Jesus plus not doing stuff. Jesus plus the correct music, the correct books, the correct worship style. And we add on, and we upgrade, and we add on, and we find more and more stuff to do or not to do. And in the middle of all this activity, in the middle of all these rules, we lose sight of the Saviour. Galatians 6 verse 12 tells us that there were troublemakers in the church who were encouraging the members there to add on circumcision to their list of dues. It tells us why. They said they did it for two reasons. And the first reason was so that they could impress people with religion. And the second was so that they could maybe avoid being persecuted by the Romans, by the Jewish leaders at the time. And at this point in history, there was an uneasy acceptance by the Romans of the Jewish faith. And the Jews who towed the line were perhaps tolerated in the society and maybe a little bit respectable. But not this new Christian cult, as it was seen by the Roman leaders. And if circumcision, a symbol of the Jewish faith, could be added into, like an upgrade to what the Christians already knew, mixed with faith in Jesus, then maybe they could avoid this persecution by the Romans and by the Jewish leaders, and maybe they could be seen to be a little bit respectable. Sort of took the attitude of, if you can't beat it, then just water it down, make it acceptable. It's been my experience, even this week, that people are usually happy to talk about God. You can discuss them for hours. They'll give you their view, tell you you're a great guy, you're doing a good work, all the rest of it. People don't mind when the church are involved with the community, if they're involved with charity. People can even be supportive. Right up until that moment when you mention sin. Right up until you mention the cross of Jesus. Right up until you tell people that we're all sinners from birth, and that sin was going to take us to a hell for all eternity, and that the only way that we can overcome that is because of the sacrifice that Jesus made at the cross. That is when you will get a very different reaction. And yet Paul says in Romans 1 verse 16, you don't need to look it up, he says this: "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes." Why was Paul using large letters and an urgent tone? Because he was fighting for the truth of the gospel, no compromise. And if it brought him persecution, then so be it. Gospel is worth it. Jesus is worth it. So to go back to the question that I asked earlier, can this teaching still affect our church here today? Yes, it can, very much so. It can infect Shankill Community Fellowship. And this false teaching of Jesus plus something else can give false hope to people who believe that they are Christians, but they put their faith in the wrong place, in the wrong thing. So the important question that I have to ask you this morning is, where is your faith? Is it in the cross of Jesus? Have you repented? Have you asked Jesus to save you? Have you put your trust firmly and completely in him and his sacrifice at the cross? Because here's the thing that you need to realize. If not, if you have your faith somewhere else, then you're lost. Sad thing is that there's so many religious people this morning sitting in churches around Northern Ireland, and they're drifting hopelessly with a false hope through this life, trusting in religion, trusting in the signs of religion, church, and trusting in their own church tradition to save them. These Galatian Christians were being urged to trust in Jesus plus circumcision, and they were being urged to trust in a symbol. Sad thing is today that many people are living with false hope, and they have their hope in their baptism, their confirmation, their church attendance, their charitable acts, the symbols of Christianity, and they hope that these things are going to save them. Maybe I'm describing you this morning, and if so, let me point you towards Jesus. Allow me to point you towards the cross, because it's there, and it's only there, that you will find complete forgiveness, complete freedom, and complete joy in Jesus and Jesus alone. Acts 4 verse 12, salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to mankind by way which we must be saved. Look at verses 14 and 6 to 16. And look at verse 14 first. May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wonder who, can you remember who said this? And you need to have been around in the 70s, I think. So I just about made it. I'm not the greatest. I'm the double greatest. Not only do I knock them down, I pick the round. I'm the boldest, I'm the prettiest, the most superior, the most scientific, most skillfulest fighter in the ring today. Who said it?
Cassius Clay.
Cassius Clay, good, yep. Or Muhammad Ali. What about this one? And just after he said, please don't call me arrogant, I'm a special one. Yep, you're right. Anybody got a name? Jose Mourinho. Very good, Sarah. When he was manager of Chelsea, I think it was. I think that we can all agree that boasting probably isn't the most attractive character trait, but these guys really nailed it. Wise man once said that perhaps the more a person boasts, perhaps that's a sign that simply they don't have anything to back it up. And Paul explains to the church members at Galatia that he doesn't boast in anything other than the cross of Jesus. Think about Paul. Was in his younger days, Paul had money. He was educated and he had a certain amount of fame. He had a certain amount of status. Maybe to the Christians it was infamy, but people knew who he was. In the eyes of the circles that he moved in, Paul was a Jewish thoroughbred. Listen to how he described himself. He said, I am a Jew, born in Tarsus of Cilicia, but brought up in this city. I studied under Gamaliel and was thoroughly trained in the law of our ancestors. I was just as zealous for God as any of you are today. Did Paul boast? Did Paul brag? No, he didn't. And why? Because when Paul met Jesus on the road to Damascus, he realized that he was a nobody. He had nothing without Jesus. Listen to how the great Apostle Paul describes himself in 1 Timothy 1:15. He said this, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. How did he finish it? He said, of whom I am the worst. Of whom I am the worst. So what are we like? Before we can begin to have a relationship with God, then you and I need to understand this truth and we need to accept this. We need to admit that we are the worst of sinners. And the truth is that our moral bank account is empty. My ordinary bank account is empty, but my moral one is even emptier. We're sinners from birth and we inherited it from Adam. We're sinners by preference because at the end of the day, we enjoy it and we're sinners by our own choice. We're never, ever going to be able to work our way to heaven or God's favour. The gap is just too big and we can't cross it. And trying to save ourselves through our own efforts, our own religion and efforts, is something akin to trying to swim the Atlantic. Reality, most of us aren't going to make it out of Belfast Harbour. And even the strongest of swimmers isn't going to make it. So Paul reminds the people at Galatia, as he reminds us, that we are broken, we're helpless, and we're hopeless, and we have absolutely nothing to boast about. But our only hope is in the cross of Christ. Verse 14 goes on to say this, that the world has been crucified to me and I to the world. Paul's saying that he has died here. That the old Paul has been crucified with Jesus and that he has died. The old ways are behind him. And as Jesus was raised to life, so was Paul, and the world was nothing to him now. It was dead to him. Paul's sin had been put to death. Paul wasn't perfect, but he was moving in a new direction. If we call ourselves Christians, then this is how we should be living. We need to put the world behind us and we need to put sin to death. And maybe we told lies in the past, but now we tell the truth, even when it costs us. The lustful and the hateful thoughts that were in our minds are a thing of the past. They're behind us. We used to love to gossip. But that's the person that we used to be, not the person that we are now. The bad language, taking the Lord's name in vain, should be put right behind us. The world is crucified to us. The Holy Spirit enables us to put these things behind. Galatians 2 verse 20 says this: I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Have a look at verses 15 and 16. Verse 15 and 16, Paul tells the church about what really matters. He tells the Galatians that they were in danger of missing the point. He says that circumcision was neither here nor there. Didn't matter if it was or it wasn't. It was a tradition from the past, and if they trusted that religious tradition, then they were going to lose sight of the one important thing, and that was Jesus. And they needed a change from the inside out, not from the outside in. There's an important difference. Not just stuff to do on the outside, not just rules to keep. What did he call it? He called it a new creation. Change from the inside out. It's a new life empowered by the Holy Spirit. A new heart that hates sin, and a new hope that is free in Jesus. Have a look at verse 17 as I come towards the end of the passage, as I come to a finish. It was last week John asked us the question, is Jesus worth it? And clearly Paul thought so. It's easy to say that we're Christians. It's easy to talk the talk. But if we really mean it, if we really mean and believe that Jesus is worth it, then this gospel should be changing our lives. What does Paul say? He says, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Verse 17, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. Paul believed the gospel, and Paul believed that Jesus was worth it, and it literally showed on his body. His scars were visible. Listen to Paul's record of the hardships that he endured for the defense of the gospel. He said this: I have worked much harder, been in prison more frequently, been flogged more severely, and been exposed to death again and again. 5 times I received from the Jews the 40 lashes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was pelted with stones. 3 times I was shipwrecked. I spent a night and a day in the open sea. I've been constantly on the move. I've been in danger from rivers, in danger from bandits, in danger from my fellow Jews, in danger from Gentiles, in danger in the city, in danger in the country, in danger at sea, in danger from false believers. I have labored and toiled. I have often gone without sleep. I have known hunger and thirst, and often gone without food. I've been cold and naked. Besides everything else, I face daily the pressure of my concern for all of the churches. And you can read that in 2 Corinthians 11. What about us? We're too busy concerned for our own comfort. And all of us, and I include myself here, we make excuses. Sometimes we're just too tired to come to church, too busy to give any time for ministry or helping out. Can't afford to give our money to the work. We make excuses. There's no interest in spending time with God's people. Faith is great, right up until the point that it costs us. So what was it that drove Paul? What was it that made him want to put the world behind him? What was it that allowed him to prioritise the important things in life for the unimportant things in life? It was this. He met Jesus. And on a life-changing experience on the road to Damascus, and you're maybe familiar with that story from Sunday school, Paul met Jesus. Jesus confronted him. He temporarily blinded him. He challenged him about his sin, and then he forgave him and he saved him. What was the end result? Paul was changed, and that's why Paul had this conviction. Like the disciples, who witnessed an empty tomb and has resurrected Jesus, they were changed. Nothing could ever be the same again. And for Paul, years down the road, you could actually see the marks on his body. And when we encounter Jesus, life has to change for us. We can't be that old person anymore. The gospel of Jesus Christ was of all importance to Paul, and it should be to us too. If we claim to love and if we claim to trust Jesus, then we should begin to see the marks on our lives too. What about us then in 2017 in Northern Irish culture? What does that mean to us? Is persecution bad? Not so much here. But maybe it means watching a little less TV and opening our Bibles instead. Maybe it means putting our necks on the line and inviting people to church to tell them about Jesus. Maybe we're being challenged to spend less time and money on ourselves and use that time and money wisely in the spread of the gospel and in the work here. Perhaps it means simply being laughed at or excluded by the group of people that we spend our time with. We need to love the gospel, we need to protect the gospel, and we need to spread the gospel even when that costs. And even when, as with Paul, it marks us. Paul was prompted and guided by the Holy Spirit to write the book of Galatians because certain people were attempting to destroy the gospel. They were attempting to remove the believer's freedom in Jesus for their own ends and for their own safety. And the end result would be that if the Galatian Christians bought into this, then they would lose their freedom in Christ. They wanted them to swap Jesus and the cross for a list of rules and regulations. One list of things to do and another list of things not to do. So how does Paul finish in verse 18? He says this: The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Listen, we are all broken people. We can't deny that. We're all sinful people, but we just need to admit it. Our sin deserves punishment because a holy God can't tolerate our sin. And we deserve hell and we deserve punishment and separation from God for all eternity. We deserve justice. But justice for us means punishment. But Jesus offers grace to those who will accept it. And that's the good news. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. The undeserved favour, the undeserved forgiveness, the undeserved acceptance into the family of God through Jesus. With Jesus, there is grace to all who accept it. But just Jesus. I'm finished now, and I thank you for listening today. And maybe just as we close, we can keep our seats and make this closing song that we're about to sing the prayer of our hearts. And maybe you're somebody today who's lost sight of that grace of Jesus. So maybe just take this time of contemplation to renew that relationship. Maybe you've never made that commitment. Maybe you're not a Christian here this morning. So why not make that commitment today as we sing? It'd be great if you walked out of here changed today. Just ask Jesus to forgive your past and then cling completely to his cross. If any questions today, I'd love to talk to you about that. So please just say to me. I'm happy to talk to you if you want to ask further questions. So maybe just keep your seats and we'll sing this last song together. How deep the Father's love for us. Let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we just pray that that is the prayer of our heart, that we will boast in nothing but the Lord Jesus and the sacrifice, the ransom of Calvary, Father. And we just pray that those who don't know you here this morning, you would open their eyes to accept that truth. Father, we just pray that we would go into this week with the understanding of what we are and who we are before you, Lord. We just pray for your blessing, Lord, and everything that we have done today is for your name and for your glory, Lord Jesus. Amen.
Thank you.